October 2, 2021, so what for Pedro show?
Well, I don't know. It's according to the individual. You find many times a man may feel that he's the situation is all right with him, where another man might say, well, that situation is no good for you. Oh, you see. So it's a matter of a man knowing himself just what he wants, you know. And that way, it's according to his values. If he doesn't mind a certain sort of treatment, then I'm sure he can get it. So he can find it somewhere. If he does mind it, then he doesn't have to put up with it. In my opinion, at this state of the union where I'm at now, I don't care too much for playing a club consistently. Now, there was a time when this felt all right to me because my music, I felt I had to play a lot to work it out, you see. But now I don't think that was absolutely where it was at, but I had to find it out myself.
Like so, moving to the country.
Yeah, I had to go through this thing, you know. Well, and now I don't feel this is necessary. I think that it is a matter of being able to be at home and in, to go into yourself, you know, more. In other words, like the years before I was playing, you know, every night. And as such, the situation involving the club is not an ideal one for me now.
Thank you.
Mike from Pedro Show, happy Saturday. We got a revisit, people. Very, very fortunate. Have back on Watt Pedro Show, Brother Tom Hamilton. Welcome back aboard, Tom.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
I should tell the listeners, we had a little bit of John Coltrane talk to Frankowski in November 66. And then collab you did with Al Margolis, Bitter Forest.
Right.
And
right.
Pretty recent, right?
Yeah, we did that this last summer. And, you know, it was one of those collaborations out of necessity, the necessity of the moment, in that he did his tracks, I did my tracks, and then I put them together in Pro Tools after that. And I should tell you one thing about that is that we each had a score that we had made for an event that didn't happen a couple of years ago, but we still had our scores, and we decided that we would use those scores. So he went and used his score and produced his tracks. I went and produced my tracks from my score. I misread my score so that everything that I did had a fundamental calculation error in it, let's say. And I put them together and they sounded pretty good anyway.
Shows to go. But also, I think the other lesson is don't throw anything away, because down the road, right?
No.
Right? Everything can be repurposed. Even if it gets fucked up in the repurposing, it becomes manifest in your work.
I know. Well, we'll probably use those scores again, and it'll be something entirely different.
Shows to go.
Yeah.
So yeah. In these 4 months, besides that summer project, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been working on a number of things that got put out on Bandcamp, and I think we're going to play some of them today.
Great.
And also, I do a lot of work for the Robert Ashley Ensemble, which is an experimental opera ensemble, and we have a production coming up at Roulette in a few weeks. So there's been a lot of work on that, and there was we made a CD, and it's one of those projects again that was delayed just because of COVID.
Yes, so we bear with it, and we navigate it the best we can. Like they said in vaudeville, work the room.
Yeah.
Now Roulette, I have a recording of Tenko doing a vocal. That place is great for very adventurous music.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And to keep on keeping on like they have, that's so bitchin'.
Yeah, well, it's taken on it's taken on different forms and shapes and different venues, and now it's out in Brooklyn.
Right, right.
And it's the right tool for the right job, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, as well as the audiences, you know.
Which is a big part of it, right? You need gig-goers, right. You need listeners.
Absolutely.
Even if it's the same people just taking turns for each other.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it isn't quite that. Yeah.
But if it is, that's kind of okay, too, because...
That's fine.
Right,
sure.
Right. Now, you gave me this other music, something you did, I guess, for Eric Richards, an elegy? And this is just an excerpt? Let me play it.
does it go? The confidence. Some days I'm strong and defenseless. Going to put up a fight. just want to say good night. Good night. Can't breathe, what did he do? Shot while sleeping, what did she do? Shot while jogging, what did he do? Not a goddamn thing, we know it's true. All lives won't matter until black lives do. We've got a problem. It's not fake news. It's not fake news. It's not fake news. We've got a problem. Deflection blues. What does a fascist do? Create diversion from simple truth. Stoke the fear of the other, fear of the immigrant. Make us less than human when we resist. We deny science, stifles dissent, turns us on each other, doesn't even flinch. The more he says it, doesn't make it true. When he invents the crisis, deflection blue. From simple truth. Simple truth is not fake news. It's not fake news. It's not fake news. The more he says it, doesn't make it true. We've got a problem. Deflection blues. What does he do?
Watch for Pedro's show. Start that chunk of music off with an excerpt from Elegy for Eric Richards from Tom Hamilton. Then we had Ryan James Mobby with Other Light. Neil Turpin from his brand new record, Herculean Song. This is a drummer man that decided to learn and play everything. ID du Femel, brand new Stories. And it's spelled that way, people. S-I-C. Log Tall Deb and Colin John. Colin John was on a show a couple weeks ago, and this is something he gave me. Deflection Blues. Bombas Prendon out of D.C. area. We meet in digital spaces. I think this is them figuring a way to collab in real time without trading files by working in big fudgy spaces so that the latency thing don't hold sway. Vermes do Limbo with Derrida, new album out of Brazil, and a tune, Iri Boa. Itapoa. I fuck up everything, I'm sorry. SLWCC WAP, brand new collab I did with Sam Locke Ward, Nova City. This is I Statements. And finally, Mimi Gerard, Video Dance 3. And it's an excerpt from Tom Hamilton. Next time we're going to hear number one, but for some reason he wanted three ahead of one, I think. So, but let's let Mr. Hamilton explain his own words.
Okay. What should I explain?
Why three before one?
But first, I don't know. I didn't do that.
I did that. Okay. I think I was trying to go chronologically on your little list that you gave me.
I only gave you the files in whatever alphabetical order they get sorted in.
But there was a paper thing, a chart that also gave a date. And I think that's what I went by, reverse chronological. Then let's fucking get into Elegy for who's Eric Richards?
Eric Richards was a very unique composer who lived in New York his whole life, and he was also a close friend of mine and my wife, and so we saw Eric quite a lot in the last 20 years, and we were frequent dinner companions, as well as just many, many conversations about music and so forth. At any rate, he had lots and lots of friends who he was very well known to. He wasn't necessarily that well known to the public. At any rate, he passed away April of 2020. And we just missed him, and I just wanted to do something that I felt in some way was sort of guided by his spirit or influenced in some way, not in the music itself, but in maybe the decisions about the music. And there were those moments I'd say, well, what would Eric do? And it was just a sort of a way of thinking about him some more.
Was there musical stuff you learned from him?
Well, only to the standpoint of, like I have with so many of the people that I have become friends with, other composers, is that pretty much stick to your guns at all costs.
And what was singular about Richard's way of doing that?
Well, that he created theoretical ensembles for impossible combinations of instruments with the anticipation that these things would be recorded.
Sure.
And then in the pieces that could be performed live, they were also layered with multiples of the same instruments, and that the scores themselves were guided by things that were references that were sort of unknown to the rest of us until you actually opened a score and you would see some of these things. Many of his scores were very graphic, very detailed sort of beautifully rendered and mysterious at the same time. He was a mysterious fellow.
And so you're saying the manuscripts were like works unto themselves.
They were. They absolutely were.
Yeah, you know, the Smithsonian's got a copy of John Coltrane's manuscript for A Love Supreme, and it's kind of like that. It's not just the instructions, you know. You can see a part of the artist in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
well, these could get very graphical at times.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour, October 2, 2021. Just Watt Pedro's special guest again, Tom Hamilton. Hold tight for hour two. October 2, 2021. It's the second hour. A lot for Pedro's.
I'm Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. We start out the second hour. And this is me, Big Gerard, Video Dance 1. And it's an excerpt, Tom Hamilton. And I was confused. Actually, this one did come before the third one. But I'm going to have Tom explain about who Mimi Gerard and these pieces are about anyway. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, Mimi Gerard is a choreographer and a dancer. And I had been following her work since the 70s. And I happened to see her company. She had a touring company in the 70s. And I was living in St. Louis in those days. And she appeared there a couple of times with these main stage productions. And I was just fascinated with the way that they coordinated lights with live action. And everything was computer controlled. And I was just very fascinated with it. And there was another coincidence where I went to her studio in 1979, and I went to a lecture that she did there with her husband, James Seawright, and they talked about how things were coordinated, how they used computers and so forth. And then years later, just a couple of years ago, I went to a video dance concert that she did here in New York. I introduced myself, and she said, I'd like to hear some of your music. So I sent her some, and the next thing I knew, I was doing a piece for her. And so in Video Dance 1, we're going to hear about half the piece. And in Video Dance 3, the other excerpt, we're going to hear about a third of the piece, fourth of the piece, maybe. So yeah. those things were done about not a year apart, but maybe about 9 months apart.
And how did she inform you? Did she give you a video of the dance, or did she explain in words?
No, okay. No. This was all pre-scored. We had very little talk about it. I knew some of the earlier things she had done because she had posted videos on Vimeo or YouTube. I could see those things. I started out by working with some of the sound material that to me was a similar procedure and was reminiscent of the things that I was working with in the 70s when I first started seeing her work. So I wanted to start from that point. And so that's the first kind of thing that you'll hear are some of the ways of making notes, making sequences that I did back then. Although now I do those things with computers. Back then I did them with analog synthesizers.
Whoa. And then we heard Ben Salter from Tasmania with Destitution, 10,000 pounds of spiderwebs from Moto and Baltimore. James Twigg, Harper, Rubber O, Cement with Kidney, Hairs, Bind, Styptic, Eximus, Maladies. What a fucking title. You know, that's Brutal Sound Crew people. And Anna Pagolo, Tom Hamilton, an excerpt, Stone into Water. Enlighten us, Tom.
Well, Anna Pangelou.
Who is a
singer living in Athens, and we met several years ago when we were both working on a piece of by Alvin Lussier that was presented at Documenta in Athens, and we just sort of hit it off and became friends, and we decided to cook up a project together, and it really started with a photograph that she took of some fallen columns in a park in Athens. And I looked at those photographs. I looked at several photographs she had taken, and I used one and converted the photograph, the image itself, into sound. And I presented that as a score, the manipulations themselves, just the sort of the Pro Tools file. I sent her that as well as a recording. And she took that as a score and created a voice part that completed the piece.
Whoa. Yeah, you've been to Acropolis? So many people have walked there that the rocks are all shiny and smooth.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
So this was this was a column, and the one quality of that column is, with these large columns, is from a distance, all the fluting, all the grooves look very straight, and the closer you get up to them, the more of the imperfections you see, and it's those close-up imperfections that I used to my advantage in generating the music for it, and generating the electronic part.
Wow, yeah. Things appear smooth, but you get close. That reminded me of that whole movie, Eraserhead. You look close enough, you're going to find dirt. here's something that's just plain old Tom Hamilton, Habitat Paradox.
I'm
Okay.
Watt for Pedro show. Starts that chunk of music. Tom Hamilton, Habitat Paradox, the Northern Jaw, Sweeping Motions, Samuel Locke Ward. Yeah, the other part of SLWCC, Watt, Glory Forever. The Ophelia's brand new. I think out of Cincinnati, Mastermind. And finally, Hamilton, Frasconi, Ostrowski, with Experiment Zoom 2. And this is dangerous to assume, but I think this might have been a real-time collab online.
Yes, yes, it was. And so it was Experiment Zoom 2, and it was the third 10-minute jam from that session. And we formed this little trio in the early days of COVID, and we treated it like a band. I mean, we would get together on Tuesdays and rehearse and talk about format and all that, and then sort of during the week we would have other little test sessions, just technical sessions, and then on Thursday we would do it became like a formal concert. And we also had a producer for the concert, Amanda Remus, who just coordinated everything and coordinated the audience into the Zoom event. And we just loved doing it. Eventually, I had to stop because the setup for me in my little space was complicated enough that I couldn't easily switch back to the other things that I needed to do all week long. So I did it for about 6-8 weeks, and we had guests once in a while, and it was a terrific experience for us.
How did you deal with the latency problem, Tom?
Well, we just we did music that was, let's say, had a different sense of time than music that's organized by bars and beats.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I hear the thing, and I know you guys did it, so I just was interested in the techniques. I think that's what the Bombas Prending guys did, too. They built into the performance was like enough wiggle room so people didn't have to be, goose-stepping together, which is kind of weird anyway. tell me about Habitat Paradox.
Well, Habitat Paradox started as a demo. I needed to put together an oral score for other performers to improvise with, and so I wanted to test out some elements, and so I just did a mix, and I said, well, you know, this sounds pretty good the way it is, just as an electronic track. So that's maybe part of the paradox. The other part of the paradox is that I've found that if I select words at random and put them together, sometimes it works, you know? So it's just the proximity of those two words, habitat paradox, that kind of sounds like a title.
Yeah.
Even though it means nothing, of course.
Or it means everything.
Or everything.
When you can find words that are open-ended like that, then the listeners, you can involve the fucking, it's not just a diary entry,
Right.
Yeah, it's inclusive. And like you were saying, those performances you did with your buddies there, they were gigs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
We practiced, we rehearsed, we didn't argue though, so it wasn't really.
It wasn't like real. Okay.
but you know, I guess you could say, you know, in my own way, I quit the band, right? You know.
Right. You hung up your poster, but you know what? Future belongs efficient. You had to keep switching over because your music thing is a real. A day-to-day thing, so it's got to be practical like that.
That's right. I do a lot of audio production.
Yeah.
For myself and for other people. Yeah.
And so if things ain't ready to go, it's a real fucking clog on the creativity.
Yeah, and pulling things out of a closet, finding the right cables, and packing it all up again, and it got to be, you know, just the sort of overhead that it is for a real gig.
A little less slack.
I make your packing list, you know. Then you forget something.
Right. Well, we call it a donate. You never forget. Or you never lose anything. No. You just donate. Right. We're at the end of the second hour, October 2nd, 2021. Just what Peter is a special guest, Tom Hamilton. Hold tight for hour three. October 2nd, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you. if this thing to be other than completely carcinogenic, it needs... I'm known to be deleterious, you know, so... I remember when knowledge was the model therapy. You know, when white noise, you know, was some alien squabble of a time, you know. The short sentence was the key in the legitimation of the next. A gift. Forgive to be gifts, they have a cause to be banal. I'm going to prefer for the subject to be characterized. Boredom reduces chance like a subject of code.
Pedro Show. Start third hour, Miguel Frascon, Tom Hamilton with Modern Dilemma, then Black Humor, You Can Have It, If Buona, Mr. Al Margolis of Chester, New York, Mixed Opinions, and then finally Tom Hamilton, Man Alone, Chris with a crossfade. So let's begin with the duet with Miguel Frascon.
Right. Well, you know, we wanted to. Miguel has been using a lot of current analog electronics, and I used to do that. I used to, in the 70s, I had access to all sorts of ARP synthesizers and Serge synthesizers. But I had sort of progressed to what's called virtual analog, and I have a Nord modular keyboard. And so Miguel and I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to sort of compare and contrast in a way. So I went to his place. He lives in Connecticut, and we laid down the tracks. And I got to tell you one thing about it is that after we recorded, we did the initial recording in a day. And so he gave me the tracks to work with in Pro Tools. He gave them to me, the separate tracks, to take home. And I had a thumb drive, and we transferred everything to my thumb drive. And somehow on the train home, the thumb drive slipped out of my pocket, unbeknownst to me. And I got home, and there was no thumb drive. And a little bit later, I got a text message from somebody who was on the same train, or on a later train, but the same seats, who found the thumb drive and found it with my name and cell phone number on it, and figured if it was important enough for me to put my name and phone number on, there must be something important in there. And she texted me, and she said she was going to be in Manhattan, and we could arrange to meet. And I immediately met her that morning and got these things back. Now, of course, Miguel had a copy, but, you know, I just thought it was a really great gesture by a stranger. But the lesson in there is that if you have a thumb drive, get a little P-Touch labeler, you know, and put your name and your cell phone number on the drive.
Yeah.
You'll thank me. You'll thank me when you do it.
I'm thanking you ahead of time, Tom.
Yeah.
Truly. And I thank that lady, too, for being bitch and not honest.
That's right.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And so, why Modern Dilemma?
Well, that was another one of those things where we picked a lot of, we just picked a lot of words at random and shuffled them around and just ended up with, I think there were five tracks or six tracks on that album. And so we ended up with some pairs of words and I don't know, you know, that was one track, but, I guess I could get the CD out and, I could read the other names.
It's part of that.
They would make about as much sense.
Okay. And I bet you Chris with Crossfade is way more anchored in reality. Yeah.
It is, yeah. So Chris Mann was a poet, composer, and performer of his work. He was sort of an incredible artist. He spoke very fast. And was a true genius, and as well as a friend. And he died several years ago, and there was a memorial for him, and they asked people to do something 5 minutes or less. And so this is what I did. He had previously published some of his recordings of his spoken word on his website, and said, do with them what you want. So I took some of his recording, and I converted those things into sounds that of my own. And of course, I literally made a crossfade from one to the other. And
hence
there
the title.
Was the title. Yeah.
Okay, here's some other Tom Hamilton, Man Alone, Smoothie.
spinning dreams with shared features. Work continues to sleep in. Shimmer, shudder, channel space, oscillator. Be together in this heart vibration. Always in this. Now. Connected communities of care and merging. Learning. Sharing. Listening. Being together in love. The strength of open possibility we draw. We remember. Understand. Begin to. Spinning. Allowing ourselves each other. Heart in process. Forever and ever and then.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Tom Hamilton with Smoothie. Then God's Teeth in the Interstellar Tropics out of Brighton, England with Now. Kazuya Ishigami with Lemurian Memory. And finally, Sebastian Shadow Region 4, Tom Hamilton. Explain, please, Mr. Tom.
Which should I explain?
Smoothie. First, I want both explained, please.
Okay. Smoothie comes from an interesting project by a fellow named Mark Weidenbaum. He has a project called Disquiet Junto. And what it is that he sends out an assignment every week to people, if they want, to create a short piece based on some premise or another. And frankly, I forgot what the premise was for Smoothie. But I participated for a while, and it was just great to do these little assignments. I think I did maybe three of them, and I just included this one because I needed a single, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. And but it's a wonderful project. It's still going on, Disquiet Junto. And so what it is you make your piece, and then you post it in a certain way to SoundCloud, and then people comment on it and so forth.
People give us challenges to help us grow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Yeah.
And so Sebastian Shadow Region 4?
So Sebastian Shadow was a six-part piece that I did in 1996. So this is my only old piece.
Right. I told you how I went reversed.
More or less current, but I decided I would lie and give you one older one. And Sebastian Shadow took a short Bach fugue, and I stretched the notes out essentially to make almost like chord changes for a new piece that had lots of fast notes. And so it was a sort of a constantly changing arpeggiation in a way, and in some ways it was sort of diffracting all the counterpoint in that fugue. So it took something. The original fugue was about 4 minutes, and I stretched it into an hour.
Yeah.
But you never hear that stretched piece. You only hear what I did.
Right. Which is
made of a lot of fast notes, and then I divided that into six sections according to some proportions that I've promptly forgotten about now.
That's okay.
It's 1996.
See, yeah, I went in reverse chronology, so this was the oldest stuff you gave me. And what are you doing right now?
Well, you're talking to me, of course. I'm getting ready, as I said, for another Robert Ashley production called El Aficionado. And the long-term project for this year is I'm going to do a concert at Roulette at Brooklyn as part of the interpretation series there, May 12th. And so I'm working on a larger scale piece for that. Unknown. I don't even have any random words for the title yet. So.
Whoa. Yeah. It's still to become. Well,
yes.
I love the way that you got something always on the stove, you know. That's great. And the invite is always open to come back on the show, you know. And you can play 30-year-old stuff if you want, 50-year-old, you know, or the stuff from next week.
I think there is 50-year-old. Sad to say, I think there is 50-year-old stuff.
That's okay, right? You got a litter trail behind you.
Yeah.
But it's full of very interesting works that I just love. From somebody like me on the bass trying to learn music, you are such an inspiration. Thank you so much, Tom.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. It's just really great to be here.
Okay,
just
brother.
Lots of fun. Yeah.
People, it's been October 2, 2021, Dishwap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.